Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Sander Lanch podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing three chapters of The Way of Kings, chapters 60, 61, and 62, wherein we see another one of Dalinar's visions. Dalinar and Navani share, you know, some private time. And then Kaladin does a dance? Question mark. I'm Data, and with me today is...
Jamie,
Joe,
and Dak.
So hang on to something, everybody. The Sander Lanch is about to begin. So yeah, three chapters this time, and you know, maybe things are starting to happen a little bit here. At least that third chapter feels kind of active to me. What do you guys think? Are we entering Sander Lanch territory here at the, what is like the 87% mark?
I'm going to go and say yes, definitely, because we're so far through the book. Yeah, bridge runs are not going to get any easier for Kaladin, and he's going to have to find some more Stormlight pretty damn quick. Because he's made some enemies today, possibly on both sides. But yeah, that was poor Shen.
Yeah,
I feel for him. That sucks. But it did exactly what Kaladin had hoped it would do, and saving more than just his bridge crew. So good on him. I think that went exactly where I thought it was gonna go. Didn't take a rocket scientist to bring that out, but it was. It was hard to read, like, knowing what he was going to do. That sucks. The stuff with Dalinar, yeah, the first chapter with his vision and speaking to Noadon, I got to a point where he called him Noadon, and then, you know, oh, no, that's probably his formal name. And I was like, yeah, because his informal name is Hoyt. <He's getting laughs> yeah, I'm sticking to my guns on that one. But... yeah, we're definitely warming up to something pretty bad with desolations and such. I'm glad we're kind of getting a little bit more reference to Yasna, and we're starting to get reference to what happened in Yarkoved with the king. Like, Navani brought that up, which is good. I'm a bit disappointed in Dalinar. He's held out so long. He's been the honourable person. And he just couldn't help it this time. I feel less about like Navani being untrustworthy, but I think it will depend on what happens next there. But yes, definitely heating up generally in many areas, I guess.
I like that you're sticking to this theory that like Hoyd is this king in the past. Although, I mean, you feel like if it was Wit, Dalinar might have recognized him.
Maybe. He was a lot younger than he was expecting. Maybe if you weren't, I don't know, Wit might just look really old now. Who's to say he can't change how he looks?
He does disguise himself pretty well sometimes. That's fair.
He can do it. It's my volcano theory. I'm going to write it.
It's going to be true. There you go. Okay. And yeah, it is. It's a little bit odd for, you know, Dalinar's been holding out for so long and having these speeches about how he can't do this sort of thing. And it's like, okay, no, I give in. Yeah, well, all right.
Yes, honor. And especially because he was prepared. He knew who to keep in the room, he needed a chaperone, all that sort of stuff. This was a possibility, and he caved anyway. Dalinar.
But they're in love, so that makes it okay, or something, maybe. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
And one of them points out that it's like, it's just tradition. It's not like it's a law or something.
It's less about that what they're doing is right or wrong for the law, but Dalinar and his principles
are like fun. Yeah.
He's so strong about, and he caved. I mean, he's human. It's fine. I was just like, come on, you were so prepared. But we'll see. Maybe we'll grow to really like Navani, and maybe we'll grow to like them as a couple. see how we go.
Really, the bigger question is what's going to happen when, like, the king finds out?
Well, I don't imagine super happy about his mom and his uncle. Like, there's a lot of people related to both of these people here. I don't think that's going to go down particularly well. You know, people already look unfavorably along upon Dalinar and their house.
It's true.
People probably like this.
Yeah, even now that you put it that way, even like Adolin or Renarin might react badly to it. Who knows? Although they seem to really like her, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they want.
You can like your aunt without wanting her to be your stepmother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say we're definitely in Sanderlanch territory at this point now. We're not like to the crazy quick neck, breakneck speed of Sanderlanching. But like, I feel like we're picking up some momentum, picking up some steam. I am interested to see like how this story, this like section of the story is going to wrap itself up. Like, I don't have an overall idea of like where we're. I know we've like done some predicaments about it, but like, I don't have an overall sense of exactly where we're going with this, at least to land this book anyway. But yeah, I like these chapters a good deal. Dalinar, I'm super into the like, oh man, he discovered a language that's dead, and like he's like translating it without realizing it because he's speaking the language while he's having these visions. And like that kind of stuff to me is really cool. So them gaining knowledge just via his visions from like the directly from the translations, and just like unlocking more of their own kind of history and like what, you know, these old prayers or songs or whatever they have, like that kind of stuff's really interesting to me. So I like that a lot. Yeah, the Navani Dalinar situation, it feels wrong. It looks wrong. It doesn't sound like it's a good idea to anybody. Except Navani. Navani seems to be the only one who doesn't really care. Dalinar cares quite a bit, but what's the past tense of succumb?
Succumbed?
He succumbed? Yeah. Just sounds weird.
It does.
He succumbed to her finally, and so like that was weird. Yeah. I don't imagine El Hokar is gonna take too kindly to this. I feel like it's gonna be like, he might even go so far as like, you're trying to usurp my authority by marrying my mother, or like being with my mother. Like, I don't know, something like that could possibly happen. I don't know. It doesn't sound like it's a good plan. And then all the Kaladin stuff. I honestly did not expect him to do that. Like, I was like, what is he gonna do with these like pieces of these bodies? This is weird. And for him to find his power and use it makes total sense. But yeah, I have no idea. Like, and. They were going on in the chapter, which we'll get into. It's like they're going on about like, yeah, we're gonna have more people do this. It's like, no, he's the only one who could do that. Like, nobody else could be able to do that. And then yeah, the fact that they like got rushed by the poor Shendi because they're so angry. And then like poor Shem, like what's gonna happen with him? Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the, even though I enjoyed these chapters and I feel like it's building momentum towards something, a lot of the stuff in here is like, while it seemed good on the outside, there's like some internal things that I'm like, yeah, this doesn't seem like it's going to end well. I don't feel like this was a great plan on Kaladin's part. I don't feel like Dalinar, you know, kissing Navani was a good plan either. So I don't really know where we're going 100%, but I don't think it's good.
Well, yeah, Shallan's story definitely seems to have wrapped up in a not great place, so it's possible that everybody's going to end up.
Yeah, if she doesn't come, if there's nothing with her for the rest of the book, then yeah, like, everybody's kind of, it's going to be like an empire ending.
That would be a downer, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys have been predicting Dalinar's death, so his story, they end right there. This, maybe we're building up this relationship with Navani just to have it impact her more if he dies before the end of the book.
That'd be a real bummer for her. She's like, oh no, that one guy I loved died. Now this guy I loved is dead too.
What do I do now?
What's a dinosaur to do when there's kids on the ice? Somebody call their mom.
Dalinar's going to have nothing to do with what's going on. It's just going to be Elokar. It's just going to be like, you did what to my mom?
That would be hilarious if like something horrible happened, and you think, oh my gosh, Dalinar's gonna die, and then he survives only to get executed when he gets back because Elokar's like, wait, you're going out with my mom? No, that's not gonna happen. That would be actually very Game of Thrones, now that I think about it.
Yeah, that would. I'm just imagining Navani going down the list of like, Gavilar's dead, Dalinar's dead, who's number three on my list? Zadius, come here.
Oh, jeez. Is Dalinar Ned Stark? Is that? I guess kind of.
He's kind of the king's hand, a little bit.
Yeah. He's the honorable lord in a decadent court.
Yeah, he's the king's uncle for sure.
Yeah, good set of chapters. We're ramping up to something, but honestly, I have no idea what. Because like, I feel like, okay, so what's the end of Sandlanch going to be? It's like, is it going to be ending on a down note? Kaladin's escape attempt with his boys somehow fails. How's Dalinar going to die? Like, when's it? I don't know. Like, I feel like with things like Mistborn, each of those books, they had sort of a very clear end goal of what you expect to happen by the end of the book. You know, the Lord Ruler gets toppled, or Lúthedain gets saved, or, you know, the world gets saved. And you just don't know how, but you expect that's what's going to happen. I generally don't know what the what of this book is for the end, much less the how. So, well, yeah. Well, I'm just writing it at this point. I liked Dalinar's little chapter. I liked Navani just getting to show off her stuff. Just like she had a chance to be the engineer rather than like the schemer that we haven't really seen much of her schemer. We've just suspected her of it and sort of been hinted at. But, like, yeah, she got to do the whole, and this is the drawer where I keep various lengths of wire. And it was really nice. Like, oh, okay. I like seeing, like, the depth to you. And, yeah, the bridge run. I didn't think he was going to wear the bones. I thought he was just going to, like, scatter the bag. And the Parshendi would just freak out when they see it and just, like, not know how to react to that. I wasn't expecting him to start wearing it. So that was a whole thing. I forget his name, the Lord who's now in charge of the bridges, who we've mostly seen his wife talking. He talked this time.
He did, finally.
We were talking about, like, could he talk? And yeah, he can. And I love the moment where Sadius just confronts the two of them, and Kaladin's like, yep, meant to do it. And Sadius's like, oh, very good. You're promoted. And the Lord's just like, you could have got me fucking killed. And Kaladin's like, but I didn't. I got you promoted. What are you going to do?
But I didn't. And you can't kill me now.
Yep. Now they need me to keep doing this, because Sadius is just very much on the, oh my god, it's an even more efficient way to kill Bridgman. Brilliant.
Matal is his name, by the way.
Matal, okay, yeah.
I had forgotten who he was completely.
Because it wasn't his wife this time. You're like, who is this?
Yep.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know about Sadius. Have we been just, like, thinking about it wrong the whole time? Was Sadius's dad killed when Bridgman dropped a bridge on him, and so now he's just, like, he just hates Bridgman with a passion, and that's his goal in life, is to kill as many of them as possible?
Sounds legit.
Because, yeah, I just, I don't know. It's bizarre.
He doesn't
just,
care
like,
about them.
It seems a little bit past just doesn't care about them and actively wants them to die. So, I don't know.
He is slightly disappointed when he's like, huh, I guess this may mean that the Bridgman won't die anymore.
Yeah.
Seems like a waste.
Yep. But yeah, no, cool chapters. Poor Shen. Where the fuck are we going? is the end of these chapters, really.
I do love it that we're like almost 90% of the way through this book, and we're still like, what is going on? What are we doing?
You love that, huh?
No, like that you guys are feeling that way. That's really interesting at this point. We've never had that.
Oh, yeah. It's got a sense of superiority, so huh? Might I remind you, reads from a card.
It's so new.
Yeah,
it's a new experience to get to this point and be like, I still don't know where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, we take comfort in the fact that there's about to be, currently there's three more epic sagas. There's about to be a fourth of this same story, so
it's true.
Yep.
Well, okay, let's get into these chapters. We start out with That Which We Cannot Have, and the epigraph on this one is, the death is my life, the strength becomes my weakness, the journey has ended.
So real funny, happy stuff.
This one's collected secondhand, considered questionable. So this, I mean, I don't remember if it's the first one we've had collected secondhand, but I feel like that's revealing in a way that if this is somebody like watching people, like if these are symbol heads hanging out, watching people die, they didn't see this person die. Somebody told them later, oh yeah, that guy said this.
They're just down at the symbol head bar. And the bartender said, yeah, I heard this happened earlier. And the guy who records him is like, wait, what?
He's like, hey, we missed a death. Oh, really? Yeah. Do we like have a agent nearby who heard it? Yeah, we got Tim. Ooh, Tim, he's really unreliable. Okay, I'll record it this time, but like we really gotta be there next time.
What have we told you? You don't let Tim go out alone.
That's for sure.
Precious lug nuts.
And so, Jimmy comes up a lot.
He does.
Yeah, he's an easy scapegoat.
Yeah, that's true.
So, now I'm thinking of the symbol heads as the cloaked robot elders. Yeah.
So the people who are dying, they say their quotes, and the symbol heads go, silence! Very good.
Nice.
And then they're silent because they're dead.
Yeah, exactly. It works out every time. Okay, so we start this chapter with Adolin being like, and that's why you cannot abdicate. And Dalinar's like, all right then. And Adolin's like, wait, what? Oh yeah, you convinced me. You had valid points. And I love Adolin's like, good wait, job, I son. Actually won an argument with you? But Dalinar specifies he's going to write up a thing and have the king witness it, saying that Adolin has permission to depose him if he grows too mentally unstable. So I'm sure that won't come back to bite us in any way later.
I get why you need
Elicard. As long as it's only Adolin.
I get why you need Elicard to sign and notarize it, but that guy is not reliable.
He'll just forget about it.
What did my uncle say? Oh, nah, he was crazy when he said that. I notarized it? That doesn't sound like me.
That doesn't sound like me.
Signing paper? That doesn't sound right at all.
Yeah, that's slave work. What are you talking about? That's what we have parchment for.
Really? He can't read, so I don't know how, like, Elokar witnessing it means anything, because that paper could say anything.
Yeah. Could say Elokar's a cockahead, and he's like, yep, I sure am.
I sure saw that, whatever it was.
Whatever it just you says said on Dear that paper. Frieza. And there's a picture of a butt.
Muffin button.
So he's collected his family. He got Adolin and Renarin and Navani all up in his room with him because they're waiting for a high storm to show up. They're not 100% sure, but it's probably coming. And Dalinar is still trying to get Adolin to, you know, trust Sadeas a little, or at least be okay with the fact that Dalinar is trusting Sadeas. And he's like, man, I don't care if he is listening to the Way of Kings. He's just trying to, like, mess with you. He's manipulating you. And Dalinar's like, it's not even about the money. If I can reforge this alliance, then it's worth any cost. In a way, I'm manipulating him. And Adolin's like, fine, I'm still not going to keep my hand on my money pouch when I'm near him. Said he's just a pickpocket also.
Yeah, why does this high prince want your money? When he has the most gem hearts?
Right?
He's actually just a kleptomaniac. We caught him stealing a candelabra last year.
It's just a little character trait of Sadeas that we didn't learn about till now. He's just always taking stuff. He's Wayne.
Oh no.
Did you forget we already had a kleptomaniac character?
I did. I mean, yeah, to be fair, that was almost two whole books ago.
Fair. Okay. I like Navani also being like, as a side note, I never liked Sadeas, even when you and he and Gavilar were all buddies.
Wait, no, three books ago, White Sand. Yes.
Oh, yeah, if you count White Sand, yeah, that's fair. And then when they start discussing Elokar a little bit and things get awkward, Renarin's like, hey, Navani, what's up with that Fabriel that's sitting on your shoulder? And she smiles, and Dalinar's just like, man, I can tell that she was hoping somebody would ask her. He didn't ask her, but he's like, I knew that she wanted somebody to ask her. And so, and I agree with, I think it was Dak who was talking about how it's cool to see this side of her. And I agree with that. I like this part of Navani where she's like an engineer and she gets really excited about this stuff. We talked about previously when when they were like, what's your favorite kind of character? I'm like, I like these like scholarly type characters. And this is her going into that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's cool for her character in general. It fleshes her out more, obviously. And then I think she even like speaks to that in this like chapter or the next, where when she's like, look, I'm tired of being the grieving queen. Like, I'm a person. Like, I have feelings. I want to be me. And so, like, I think this is, you know, us kind of getting a sneak peek of, like, okay, there's more to this person. Like, she's got stuff going on. You know, she has feelings. She's a person.
Yeah, she's not just Cersei Lannister.
Right. Did Cersei not have hobbies?
Her hobbies were getting her children into positions of power.
And then blaming them when things went wrong.
As you do.
But the other thing with Navani here, just like geeking out over her fabrials and stuff, as I'm reading, and I'm just like, oh, Yasna is really your daughter. Because I got 100%, like she says later on, like Yasna's a historian and not a builder or anything. But like her reaction to people asking about her fabrials and stuff is it's very similar to when Yasna's talking about her pieces of history. Like, she's all in on this stuff because she genuinely loves it. I'm like, oh, okay, I can see how the mother rubbed off on the daughter in this regard. They have different pursuits, but similar attitudes.
Yeah, that's fair. They're very dedicated to what they do and very they love what they do. That must be nice. Be able to dedicate yourself to something you really love. And Dalinar even calls it out in his thoughts. He's like, oh, this isn't Navani the king's mother or Navani the political schemer. This is Navani the excited engineer. And so she shows off this fabrial, which it says, she talks about the different kind of fabrials. And she says that it's not a paired fabrial like the span reads. It's a diminishing fabrial. It decreases something, in this case, pain. So what this thing does when Adolin puts it on, it takes away the pain that he had in his hand, but it doesn't make the hand numb. So it's not like an anesthetic. It just literally the pain vanishes, which that's pretty cool.
It is cool. At the same time, I'm like, well, what is that doing to his nervous system?
Yeah, interesting question.
It's just killed the circulation.
Yeah. The pain redoubles when he takes it off.
And Renarin's also very interested in this. And Dalinar's like, man, if only he'd be like become an Ardent or something, then he could be an engineer or just do whatever he wanted, really. But he doesn't want to do that. It says his reasons always seem like poor excuses to Dalinar. I feel like I don't want to be someone's property is a pretty good reason, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't like believe in the religious stuff, because then, you know, it'd be kind of awkward to be like, I don't believe in any of this, but I guess I'm an Ardent now.
I want to learn how to read, so I guess I don't have any choice but to become an Ardent.
Yeah.
Or I mean, you know what you could do is just do it anyway. Just learn how to read anyway and say, screw tradition. Maybe it's the law. Maybe if a dude learns to read, they execute him. And I love that Dalinar is a very blunt guy, and he's just like, it's kind of bulky. Like, she shows off this really impressive thing that she's super excited about. He's like, and she has to be like, well, it's an early model, okay? I was working backward from one of those dreadful creations of Long Shadows, which that's a name. Have we heard anyone with a name like that?
I don't think so. Sounds like a super edgy character.
Right? This is like the goth.
Yeah.
Ardent or something.
He like sweeps.
Yeah, he comes in over, like,
over his eyes. He's like, my inventions are for the good of mankind. Name's Longshadow. Longfellow Longshadow.
But she's like, I mean, think about how useful this kind of thing could be. A soldier on the battlefield, or a surgeon, so he can work on people's on patients and they won't feel the pain. And Adolin is nodding, and it says, Dalinar had to admit, it did sound like useful device. Once again, he didn't say anything out loud. He's just like, oh yeah, no, I guess that would be useful. And she talks about the plans they have for the future. Like, oh, we're coming up with all this great stuff, but she won't let that cat out of the bag just yet. It's like, oh, you just wait and see. And then Adolin's like, shard blades? No, not. Jeez, can people think of anything other than shard blades? No.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins. Just you wait.
And so she says, the closest we've come to anything like that is those shields in Yakved, but they seem to be completely different from actual shard blades. So. And she thinks that, like, the ancients must have had amazing engineering. And he's like, no, I've seen it in my visions. Like, they have very primitive technology. he hasn't seen any Fabrials at all. And he's like, maybe they got their stuff directly from the heralds, like the legends say. And Navani starts to respond to that. And all of a sudden, boom, he's in his vision. He's like, oh, I guess I didn't hear the high storm approaching. And he's in like a, he's like in a hallway and there's a guy talking to him. He's like, man, I don't know what to do, old friend. And the guy's talking about the desolations. It's like, we're never ready for the desolations. We should be getting better, but each time we're getting worse instead. And Downer's trying to figure out, like, where exactly am I? I need to keep my eye out for, like, clues so we can try to prove or disprove this. And I like, the guys asked him, like, what do you think about something? And he has no idea what the conversation is. So he's like, I don't know what to say either.
I have no strong feelings one way or the other.
And this guy who Dalinar keeps thinking, it's like, looks very regal. Like this is a king looking guy. He says, Alakavish was a surge binder. He should have known better. And yet the Nahelbond gave him no more wisdom than a regular man. Alas, not all Spren are as discerning as Honor Spren.
Bum, bum, bum. Ow.
I gasped. There's a theory proven that that was a thing.
Yeah.
Nicely done. And the Downer's like, what is this guy talking about? What's a surge binder? And so he tries to like probe for more information. It's like, what do you think we should do about these surge binders? And the other guy's like, well, I don't know. We can't really force them to do anything. Their power. Well, Alakavish proves that the allure that surge binders have for the common people. If only there are a way to encourage them. They need to be better. And they go out on this balcony, and when Dalinar looks down, he sees like thousands of dead bodies out in the city. Not only that, but he recognizes the city. This is Kolinar, his homeland, the capital of Alethkar, and the place that the Kolin family is from. And he recognizes the city looks different. But you can tell there's these giant stone formations that look like fins sticking up in the air. They're called the Wind Blades. And so he's like, this is obviously Kolinar. Like, I recognize it. But the whole city is, he's like, the destruction is like spreading far. And there's all these dead people. Had it been hit by an earthquake? And then he's like, no, those corpses, they clearly fell in battle. Like, I can smell the blood and viscera and smoke.
Wonderful.
I'm sad that he knows what like viscera smells like.
Right. Yeah, that's a little intense. Dalinar's lived an interesting life.
I saw a meme the other day in Lord of the Rings when Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli are in the movies. They're looking for Merry and Pippin in the forest, and Gimli tastes like a patch of liquid and goes, ugh, orc blood. And we're just like, why does he know what that tastes like?
I mean, you kill enough orcs, it gets everywhere. I'm sure that you
it's true.
Recognize it.
He probably got some in his mouth, you know, when he was.
Oh, it's in my beard.
Eviscerating them.
Yeah. Also, he notes that, like, what are all those weird rocks around the corpses? And he's like, holy shit, those aren't rocks. Those are, like, giant stone creatures.
This is a real fun place I went to this time.
And we've seen some giant stone creatures before, all the way back, some dead ones, just like he's seeing, all the way back in the Prelude.
Yeah.
As a fellow worked his way through the remains of a big battle.
Yeah. It's very very Elden Ring-esque as well, so.
And for a second, Dalinar kind of forgets he's supposed to be in character. He's like, what happened here? This is terrible. And the king guy's like, yeah, I ask myself the same thing. How could we let this happen? The desolations are well named. 11 years of war and 9 out of 10 of the people I once ruled are dead. So 90% of the population of his kingdom is dead.
Those aren't good statistics there, Dana. Give us some like show statistics. We don't want to hear these statistics.
Yeah. Show statistics, you say? Alrighty then.
Oh, what a digression segue.
What have you done?
Let's find out. Hold on. Where's...
Yeah, we haven't done a show statistics segment in a long time.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Hey, our latest, as we record this, our previously posted episode is at 999 views.
Sweet.
Exactly.
So. Hey.
Come hang out at the Sander Lanch. I've had some local folks ask me about the show, so that's pretty, that's kind of cool. Yeah, just people I know. They like heard from somebody else that I'm on a show, and they're like, "What's your show about?" And then I told them, they're like, "Oh man, I actually like fantasy stuff. I'm gonna listen to that."
Nice.
And I said, "Good for you. Don't listen to it with your kids in the room. See ya."
Not safe for work.
So from the 1st to the 13th of April, we're up 3.8% from the 1st to the 13th of March.
That's cool.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, last month is the one. Is that the one where we missed several? Or no, was that February? That was February.
It's February, yeah.
Yeah, that was that was not our best month. We were down 31% from the usual numbers because of, you know, not having episodes for half of the month. But let's see. Let's see. So far in April, what's the audience looked like? 61% from the US, 8% from Canada, 4.5% from the UK, then India, Germany, 2% from Australia, 148 downloads in the 2 weeks that we've been in April so far. Let's see. Let's see. Where in the US is the top listens? California at 8.8%, and then Texas at 7.8%. So go Texas. Let's check Australia. New South Wales is leading Australia at 28%, and then Western Australia with 26%.
Really? Nice.
Yep.
Huh.
Victoria, Queensland, Australian Capital Territory with a whole 5 downloads in April, and then South Australia with 1.
Very spread out.
Download it. Did you download it, Deck?
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Well, there you go.
Automatically downloads to my phone.
Spotify, still the biggest percentage of our audience at 42%, with Apple Podcasts coming in second.
Nice. There's a YouTube viewership. Are you still putting them on YouTube?
Yeah, they're going up automatically on YouTube now. I don't think we ever get a bunch of, although we have been getting comments on, like, somebody's been watching through the older episodes, or listening through the older episodes rather, on Podbean, and leaving many comments on episodes. I get like multiple comments a day sometimes.
Oh wow.
It's like, wow, this person's tearing through. But let's see. Let's check out YouTube. I don't think we ever get all that many views on YouTube, but let's find out.
It's like I'm kind of interested in going to check, but I'm just like, if there are comments, I can't trust it because I don't know what will be said in the comments.
Right.
Interesting point, yeah. Okay, I need to go to this channel. Yeah, there we go. So look at our videos. So the last one went up 4 days ago when it went up on the podcast, went up, and it has 17 views. So 17, 25, 29. For some reason, chapters 48 to 51 and interlude 7 and 8 have 50 views, which is like almost double other ones, which yeah. Usually we end up with like 25 to 30 YouTube views, it looks like. Although the Way of Kings, the first Way of Kings episode has 118. So a lot of people checked that out, and then they were like,
First episode usually gets it all, doesn't it?
That's true. That's where you get the most people like, oh, we'll give it a shot.
And then they're like, that Joe guy, he sucks.
I like that you say that, because as I was scrolling through the thumbnails on YouTube, there's a thumbnail of Joe from the convention standing next to Marisai. And that's when we read Perfect State chapters 5 through 8. So all of our thumbnails are like these random images of things, and then there's one of Joe.
Yeah, well, we were at the con, you know, and it was during my baby break still.
Yep. Tickets for the con this year are supposed to go on sale soon. I'm waiting eagerly to pick up. I may even try to grab a VIP one this year.
Hey.
Oh, look at you, bougie.
Just people have said good things about it. You get in, you get your thing early without having to wait in line for your badge. You get into the place, because you remember how the line was to like buy stuff at the store.
Yeah.
You get in early.
Yeah, even the second one, even though it was only the second convention, the lines were real long.
Yep. The line at the store and the line at that place where you like redeemed tickets or whatever. That was always long.
Yeah, that, and then also the line to get your badge, I remember. We weren't too far back in the line at that point, but it still took a while.
We were inside the building, at least. There were a lot of people who weren't. And it was a cold, cold, was it November?
November. Yeah, November.
There's our statistics portion. Thank you, various people, for checking out the podcast. Let's see. One more quick look here. We had about 500 new downloads each of the previous days, so... And we are at 316,500 total downloads of the audio podcasts.
So. Yeah. Well, while we're on this digression, if you guys still haven't checked me out on Twitch, I'm playing through Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I had to take a break for a while. I was having internet issues, and then I got sick. But I'm going to get back to it pretty soon. And so you haven't missed a whole lot yet. You can go on my YouTube channel and see what you've missed so far and come hang out. It's a great game. It's fantastic. So
I'm finally Joe playing Show, it. Yay.
Yeah, that's right. I gave it to him as an early birthday present because I said, you got to have this. Joe Show Play on Twitch. No spaces. JoeShowPlay. Come hang out. Say hello. If you do spoil something, you will be banned. That is, that's just, you know, just good putting rule. That out there. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's back to Dalinar. So apparently this Alakavish guy started a war, him and his surge binders. And then a bunch of people died in that war. And then a desolation started. So it just was worse than it would have been otherwise. And he's like, yeah, a lot of people want to blame Alakavish. But really, is he just a symptom of a greater disease? When the Herald's next return, what will they find? If we continue as we have, maybe we deserve to lose. And this is where Dalinar starts putting two and two together. He's like, maybe this is before the Knights Radiant. I thought these were going to be chronological, but they're not necessarily. So what if they don't exist yet? What if this is like the person who inspires, writes the book and supposedly inspired their whole order? And so Dalinar says, as a test, like, there is honor in loss, which is apparently a phrase used several times in the Way of Kings. And the guy is like, using my own sayings against me, Karm. And Dalinar is like, oh my gosh. And he starts like fanboying, like, oh yeah, my gosh, it's him.
Geeking
it's
out.
Noadon. Oh my gosh.
It's Noadon. Oh, I love him so much.
Why don't I have my book so you can sign
it? Oh, yeah, you don't know. Damn it. I'm in a vision. I don't have my copy.
And then, my God,
it's Calculon.
Exactly. And then Noadon's like, I'm thinking of giving up my throne. And Dalinar's like, wait, what? No. No, no, no. You can't do that. And he calls him Noadon, and the guy looks at him like, what? Dalinar's like, right. That's like more of a title that he was given later. Even the name, like, Bajeridin, the other name that we know for him, is probably not actually his real name. And I feel like if it was me, because I'm that's the kind of person I am, my first instinct would be like, man, I want to figure out what his real name is. Like, that way, like, I'll know this historical fact that's been lost to time. And I'd be sitting here like, how do I slip into a casual conversation? Like, what's your name? When I'm supposed to be one of his closest friends. But now Dalinar's just like, no, the people need a leader. You can't quit. And the guy's like, what do I do? You're my advisor. Advise me.
Hold on. Go back.
Okay.
As he says, when Dalinar says, oh, you know, the people need a leader, and Noadon says they have leaders, princes, kings, surge binders, and soul casters.
He does say that.
And I'm like, hang on a minute. That's not what that word means as we know it. What?
I think
hung up on that.
I feel like it may have been mentioned, maybe I'm imagining it, that like the people who use, like, the devices are called soulcasters. The guys, the people who use them routinely to soulcast are also called soulcasters.
Really? I don't remember that at all, but it could be true. We've been reading this book for a long
maybe
time.
Maybe Data's given us some inside info by accident again.
Or honestly, it's even possible that I'm misconstruing something, because in the Way of Kings Prime, there were people called soulcasters, but it worked very differently from how, well, not very, it works, it worked now. Differently from how it works in this book. So,
yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things too. It's like, this is probably the one you've read the least, right? So like, there's stuff sometimes.
I don't know. I've read this a bunch of times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But of the Brandon Sanderson stuff, would you say this is the one you've read the least?
Let me think. I've read Mistborn lots of times. That's probably the one I've read the most. There's not that many series, because I don't know. Elantris may be the one that I've reread the least. I've probably read The Way of Kings more often than Elantris. Although, as you go further in Stormlight, I've reread them less often because they're newer and I haven't had as much time. Like, I've read Rhythm of War two or three times at this point. But I know I've read this one several more than that, but yeah, Elantris is probably the one that I've gone back to the fewest times. Unless, once again, you count White Sand, which I haven't read that many times. Okay, sorry. Moving forward. And so this guy's like kind of lost hope in humanity. And he's like, man, I don't have faith in people any longer. Put two men together and they'll find something to argue about. Gather a group together and they'll oppress another group. Like, eh. So how do I stop this from happening? And Downer's like, write a book. Write a book that expresses your philosophy.
Yeah, books are good.
On you, Dalina.
And I'll just know it on as he keeps calling him. Is just like, that's like the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
You're almost being my advisor. You gave me the dumbest idea I've heard yet. People are dying in the streets. And you want me to write a fucking book?
The whole world has been destroyed. 90% of my kingdom is dead. And I'm not even sure how we're going to feed the people who are still alive for the next few months. And I'm supposed to waste my time writing a book?
Yeah, books are good.
Who would even write it down? All my wordsmen were slaughtered when Yelignar broke into the chancery. You're the only man of letters I know who's still alive.
Can you imagine, like, you have a room full of people that just dictate for you, and your enemy breaks in and kills all of them? He's like, how am I going to send messages now?
Yeah.
My wordsman. Actually, no.
My communication array. It's completely destroyed.
That's a pretty good tactical move, actually.
Yeah, it is.
No outgoing messages for you. How will I hail now?
I don't recall if you guys remember the name Yelignar, because we've read that one once before.
We have? I do not.
We have. In chapter 45, the epigraph was Yelignar, called Blightwind, was one that could speak like a man, though often his voice was accompanied by the wails of those he consumed. And this is one of Yasna's notes, we decided. And the note about this quote says, the unmade were obviously fabrications of folklore. Curiously, most of them weren't considered individuals, but instead personifications of kinds of destruction. So.
Sounds like this guy's a badass, what they're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, according to her, this is probably not even, this is just a fabrication of folklore. But according to Noadon, whoever it is broke into the chancery and killed the wordsman.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it could just be hyperbole, right? So, like, this guy's a badass warrior king, like, warlord guy. Mm. And then the hyperbole about him would be, like, you know, he consumed people or whatever.
Okay.
Well, like, the epigraph, I've just flicked back to chapter 45. And so, Yelignar was one that could speak like a man. So it sounds like he wasn't even a human at all. Maybe he was a Voidbringer.
Well, and the note says the unmade, with a capital U, were obviously fabrications of folklore. So that implies that whatever an unmade is, he was one of those.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, he could have just been a monster that they named. You know, kind of like how, like, you get when you have animals that attack a population center and, like, evade capture or being killed, and mm-hmm. people give them a nickname. So they probably just done that.
So this guy was like
El Chupanibre.
Yeah.
El Chupanibre ate all the wordsmen. And so Dalinar's like, I'm a man of letters? Man, this is a weird time that I've been sent to. He says, I mean, I could write it. And the guy's like, what, with one arm? Have you learned to write left-handed? And Dalinar looks down and he still sees both of his arms. But he's like, I assume that this guy sees me differently. I wonder if before now he's been like motioning with his right arm to make a point, and it, like, this guy's just not seeing it at all.
Why are you waving? You're stumping me.
In Australia. Don't know if it was anywhere else, but it was called Thank God You're Here. And there's a bunch of comedians and they're dropped into this scene and something's happening. And this is what this scene reminded me of, because
God, you're right.
Just present this information like, what, you can suddenly write with your left hand? It's like, oh, yep, cool, didn't know that. And it just reeks of that show. And I loved that show and I ate up all of this.
That's great.
That was a great show.
That was like an improv thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's like I am vaguely familiar with it.
Yeah, comedian would just go.
I think there's still an improv technique called Thank God You're Here. Probably from that.
Possibly.
Based off.
Oh, okay. And, okay, so Noadon's just like, no writing. We need to rebuild. I've got to convince the other kings, the ones still alive, not to seek advantage over each other. And, he says, no, this isn't a time for writing. It's a time for action. And then, unfortunately, a time for the sword. And Donald's like, wait, what? like Noadon, the guy who wrote this whole philosophy of like convincing people and not forcing them to, you know, do what's right. He's saying it's time for the sword. Jeez.
Remember, kids, don't meet your heroes.
Right.
You know, swords.
And I do like that Noadon then apologizes. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I asked you for suggestion, and then as soon as you gave me one, I was like, that's the stupidest thing ever. That's super rude. My bad. You know.
Oh, I'm just on it. I wish so many people would take that message to heart.
Yeah. And so the guy turns to go, and Dalinar is just like, oh my gosh, that he's going to become one of the most influential writers Roshar's ever known. And then he looks out at all the corpses and stuff, and he's just like, I know you're there. What does he decide? Did he unite them? And then whatever the voice is that usually comes at the end of these is not showing up as he calls. So he just goes, oh, you're right about one thing. To be human is to want that which we cannot have. And then he's back where he was.
I really thought that that he was going to start saying that stuff. And then like Noadon was going to come back and like, who are you talking to?
He brings Noadon back to the present. Noadon's like, what the fuck is this place?
What?
Where am I? Who are you people?
That would be impressive. Yep. That's a very different story. If you bring this famous guy back from the past, and that's the direction the book takes.
Yeah. Can you imagine if, like, every time he had one of these visions, he brought something back from it? Like that first vision we saw where he's in the battle with those smoke crab monster things. Like one of them came back and is just out there in the wilderness now.
Oh, geez. That would be bad. I feel like way fewer people would doubt what was happening to him if that was the case.
Yeah.
I'll show you. I'll bring back another monster next time.
Yeah, what are you going to do then?
And he's kind of pissed off about this one. He's like, ah, that one was meaningless. I learned nothing.
If you brought that guy back from the past, it'd basically turn into Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, it would. Right?
Wild, like Adeline and Renner are like, wild stallions.
Oh, look at that. No, it'd
be
quite
a turn.
Yeah, that would be. I can't help imagining Adolin and Renar doing
Bill and
Wild
Ted.
Stallions. Yeah.
Air guitar and so Navani
that's
has
the
been...
that's the book we want. It's not the book we got, but it's the one we it's the one we deserve, I feel like.
I don't know that that's the one we deserve.
Bill and Ted's Stormlight Archive.
I like how Data was super into it, but as soon as you like put words to it, he's like,
No, I want it, and yet I know that it would be horrifying. No, okay. So Navani has been writing things down this whole time, and she's like, what was the last thing you said? The very last words you spoke. And he's like, oh, I was quoting this guy. I said, like, to be human is to want that which we cannot have. And she's like, he says, why? And then she ignores him, writing furiously. And then she goes, do you have a copy of, oh yeah, I thought you would. These are Yasna's books, right? He's like, oh yeah, she wanted someone to take care of them. So apparently he just has a box of Yasna's books that he's watching while she's gone up in this room. And so Navani pulls out a book and she finds a phrase in this book in a different language. And she reads it off. And Renarin's like, hey, that sounds kind of like what he said when he was in the vision. And she's like, no. It's exactly the same phrase. I wrote down all of it as best as I could. All the stuff that you babbled today. Because I thought it might be helpful. And this exact phrase is in here. It's a line from a song. An order of artists who live on the slopes of the silent mountain in Yaakoved. Century after century has sung these words. They claim they were written in the dawn chant by the heralds themselves. But the meaning has been lost to time. And so you just spoke a line from one of the songs. Not only that, you appear to have translated it. It's that we can't. It's, one sentence isn't much, but this might give us the key to translating the entire script, which we've heard the Dawn Chant mentioned as this, like, lost language that they can't translate.
Some incomprehensible dead language. Hello. Bonjour. Crazy gibberish.
there's so many subtle references to French being a dead language in that show.
Yep.
Yep.
That's not one of the subtle ones, but... And she's like, Dalinar, you might just have cracked one of the most perplexing and ancient mysteries of all time.
And he's like, yeah, cool.
Adolin's like, wait, what are you saying? And I'm saying that we have the proof that you wanted. And Adolin's like, well, he could have heard that one phrase. And she's like, and extrapolated a whole language from it? No. He's speaking a language that people no longer speak. So unless you know some other way that he learned to speak a dead language, these visions must be real.
Whoa.
And so in order to have more than just this one sentence translated, she's like, Dalinar, I want you to describe everything and tell me exactly the words that you spoke. And that's the end of that chapter. Although we do get a nice little picture with a bunch of women's script writing on it of like a bracelet with 10 lights on it.
Is that a soul caster?
No, this doesn't fit the description of a soul caster. But I thought maybe it was like that pain Fabriel that she made, but that one was described as like being like spider or crab like, and this isn't really either of those.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Chapter 61 is Right for Wrong. And the epigraph here is very short. In the storm, I awaken, falling, spinning, grieving. And we cut back to the same room just a little bit later after he's spent several hours talking about his vision. She's like, how are you so sure that it's Noadon? And Dalinar's like, I'm just sure. That was him. I've had this book read to me so often. I know him. It must have been. And they talk about the desolations a little bit. Like, what do we know about the desolations? Not the tales the Ardents tell, but like real history. And Ivani's like, I know a little, but Yasna's the historian. And he's like, I think I saw the aftermath. Maybe were those corpses of Voidbringers? Those like giant stone whatevers? Could that give us more proof? And Ivani's like, not as good as this linguistic proof. This is amazing. She's like, once like we figure out how to translate the Dawn Chant from what you're doing, like no one will be able to dispute that you're seeing something real. And Dalinar's like, wait, you're going to tell other people about my visions? And she's like, well, I mean, we have to, right? How else are we going to explain what's happening? And he's not terribly comfortable with that, but I think that, you know, she has a point. And then Navani's, as they're talking about, like, the source of this, Navani's like, your son's told me that you sought out the old magic? Why? What did the Night Watcher give you? And Dalinar's like, nope, not telling.
I feel like we heard nothing about this Night Watcher and the old magic for so much of the book, and now all of a sudden it's cropping up every couple of chapters. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Fair question. And so, yeah, he's just like, no, I'm not going to tell you. It was a long time ago, probably not relevant at all. And he's thinking, will that day never stop haunting me? Was not losing all memory of his wife enough? And it's like, what about Renarin? Would he, like, condemn me for what I did? And it's like, he looks at Renarin and it's like, curiously, Renarin didn't seem bothered, just thoughtful.
Do we know the boon he got? Is the boon forgetting his wife, or was the boon taking the pain of his wife's loss away, and then the curse was forgetting her? It's like, well, yeah, I'm going to take the pain away. You're not going to remember.
We do not know what was the boon and what was the curse. We just know that forgetting his wife seems to have been involved in the process somehow.
Yeah, he seemed to like, I don't know, he seemed to intimate earlier that he wanted to forget her, so I didn't know.
It is an open question at this point. And I like Navani doesn't really care. She's like, you'd be surprised at how many people do that. Like, it's not like the Ardents don't even care that much. They basically give you any penalty. And Renarin's like, actually, I've recently asked for a bunch of readings about the old magic and the way the Night Watcher works, but this doesn't sound like that. Father, I assume you know what your curse and your boon were. And he's like, oh yeah, I know exactly what it was. And so they're like, okay, so the Night Watcher are probably not behind this. So we go back to talking about the desolations. And Navani keeps trying to put it off, like, I'm not really the best person to ask about this. And he's just like, well, I mean, I don't trust anybody else. Except for Yasna. Yasna's not here, though. So what were the desolations? And he's like, I mean, like wars. The Voidbringers came again and again to force mankind off of Roshar and into damnation, just as they once forced mankind and the Heralds out of the Tranquiline Halls. So the religious story is Voidbringers came, kicked them out of heaven, the Tranquiline Halls, onto Roshar, and then they tried to push them off of Roshar into damnation, which I guess is like hell.
Doc.
Yeah, right. And so eventually he's like, Dalinar's like, I just got to think all this through. Can you guys give me some room, please? And Renarin leaves, but Navani's like, dude, aren't you happy? Like, we're proving that you're not crazy. He's like, well, yeah. But in a way, we just have more questions now. Like, if these are real, where do they come from? Am I being manipulated by someone or something? And he's like, look, all I see is more worries and more danger here. And she's like, you're having experience historians and folklorists can only dream about. I envy you, although you claim to have seen no Fabriels. And he's like, yeah, I don't think they had Fabriels at all. And she goes, well, even that is that changes everything we thought we knew. And then she's like, hey, did you mean what you said about trusting me? He's like, wait, I said what? I mean, you said you didn't trust them, but you did. He's like, oh, crap. And then he realizes that they're alone in this room, which he was trying to avoid.
Yeah.
He's like, you're doing it again. And she's like, yeah, I am. I'm a stubborn woman.
Great.
And he's like, no, my brother. And she's like, oh, your brother. Why is everyone so focused on him? He's not here. He's gone. It's been 6 years, and all anyone can see me as is the wife of a dead man. Nobody, like, I can't do anything important because I'm supposed to just, like, sit off on the sidelines because my husband died. And I'm not going to take that from you. We were friends before I even met Gavilar. And then she's like, she starts tearing up, and he feels very strongly about this. Like, oh my God, she's crying. I've never seen her so sincere. And then he kisses her, which, yeah, potentially a mistake there.
Yeah, not a great choice there, Gavilar. I mean, Dalinar.
No. You really just shouldn't go around kissing crying women. Like,
yeah.
Don't.
He didn't say, I know why you're sad. So
yeah, he didn't spook it. Not yet.
Or shut her up. I don't know. Like,
I just wanted to shut her up.
You know, yeah.
I agree. It's a little bit, yeah. And he said he thinks it was a mistake. He knew it as soon as he did it. And yet he continues to do it. It lasted long, too long, wonderfully long. His mind screamed at him like a prisoner chained in a cell and forced to watch something horrible. This is just really dramatic similes. And it's, but like, he's always wanted her, and he had to watch his brother court, marry, and then hold the only woman that young Dalinar had ever wanted. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. And then afterwards, it's so dramatic and passionate that there's passion spren, like tiny flakes of crystalline snow floating around them. But once this kiss is done, he's like, we can't, like, this is, and she's like, shh, shh, shh.
No more words, just emotions.
And she's like, something is wrong in the world. The king of Yaakoved was assassinated. I heard it just today by a Shin shard bearer in white clothing. And if I'm Dalinar, I would have been like, you didn't bring this up earlier. This is important.
Yeah, that's kind of
that's the dude that killed my brother.
Navani, think for a second. How's your son going to take this?
Yeah, right. And then she even is like, have you heard the messed up shit men say when they die? Most people are ignoring it, but, like, some people are starting to talk.
such a weird thing to, like, start talking about. It's like, and these guys, they're dying, and they're saying weird stuff right before. Everybody's talking about it.
Well, she's just like, there's something bigger going on in the world. Like, there's something happening, and it's scary. And he's just like, oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah. It's, I just chalked it up to wild antics.
And she also mentions, like, Yasna's out there seeking something, and she frightens me with, like, her intensity. The thing she searches for, she believes something very dangerous is near.
Ominous.
And then she's like, yeah, right. We still don't know exactly what Yasna is searching for, so, yeah.
Yeah. She's, you know, Yasna just turns around, and there's a face on the back of her head, and he's like, bring me the stone!
That would be dramatic, yeah.
Oh my god, is that how she's, like, which if she's an avatar for Odium?
Yeah. Hmm? He's on the back of her head.
And she's eventually just like, look, I was fond of Gavilar, but I'm more than fond of you, and I'm tired of waiting. And he kind of stops arguing. He's like, okay, well, how can this work? And she says, we'll find a way. Gavilar is dead. I was never unfaithful while he lived, though Stormfather knows I had ample reason. But the Devotaries can't forbid our union. Tradition is not the same as doctrine. I will not hold myself back for fear of offending. And he's telling her, like, oh, I did not need this shit on top of everything else today. If you hope to soothe my worries for the day, this did not help. And she goes, oh, I'm not here to soothe you, Dalinar. Quite the opposite. And he has to be like,
icky, 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 icky.
He has to be like, I need time to think. Please go away.
Yeah, please don't try to seduce me right now. This is weird.
And she's like, I'm not going to ignore that this happened. And he's like, no, I'm not going to abandon you. I promise. Just I need time. And she's like, OK, but you started this. And he's like, yeah, you kissed me. And he's like, but you seduced me to it. And she's like,
oh, God,
seduced you. I've never been more open and honest in my life. And he's like, yeah, I know. That was the seductive part.
Yeah, so that's the part where you were sincere and awesome.
That's kind of cute. You got to admit. but
the weirdness outweighs the cuteness.
There's cuteness in it. There's a lot of other stuff in it too.
Yeah. So yeah. Fair. And so she leaves, and he's like, oh, why can't anything ever be simple? And yet, he's like, the entire world kind of feels more right for having gone wrong all of a sudden. Maybe Dalinar can find a little happiness. Wouldn't that be nice for him? Because Kaladin sure as hell doesn't seem to be able to.
As we've established, it's when these characters start to get a bit happier that things go downhill for them.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. So our third chapter, Three Glyphs. And another short epigraph, the darkness becomes a palace. Let it rule, let it rule. All right.
That's so cheery.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a dark palace. That sounds great. We start out with Moash hating on the fact that Kaladin is wearing a glyph ward, a little prayer tied on his arm. And he's like, you know, why not? I was feeling nostalgic, I guess. And everyone is like, not happy. Because they were scavenging like all night and then they barely got any sleep and now they're going on a ridge run. It's like, we're all going to die. Like, that's what else can we do at this point? And like Moash's suggestion is like, we're in the middle of the army. Why don't we just attack the soldiers right now? maybe go after Sadeas. Like, we'll try to kill him. And Callan's like, no, that's stupid.
You're dumbass.
You've never been more wrong.
And Kaladin's like, I've got a plan. Maybe it'll work. If it doesn't, I'm going to be dead, and Teft has orders to lead you in an escape attempt tonight. You're not ready, but you'll have a chance. And that's good enough for Moash. He's like, okay, as long as there's a plan, I guess.
It's all part of the plan.
And Kaladin's thinking about, like, he'd been super contrary. He's now equally loyal. And while he's a hothead, he's also the best one of them with a spear, so.
Yeah, Dak, lay off of Moash.
No.
Nah. And so we see Sadeas with his red shard plate just clomping along. Good for him, I guess. And then Kaladin notices Dalinar using the Sadeas-type bridge crew instead of the mechanical ones. And he's like, so much for his honor and not sacrificing bridgemen lives. And we find out Lopin did manage to get the armor that was hanging under the bridge. And so he's like, give it to me right before the assault. And Lopin says a one-armed Herdazian is still twice as useful as a no-brain Dalethi. Plus, as long as I've got one hand, I can still do this. And makes a rude gesture at the soldiers. And then there's a weird fight where one of the soldiers wants some of their water. And they're like, no, go get your own.
Yeah, I feel like this was just written to add tension. Like, oh, are they going to get found out?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And Lopin's like, hey, I've got a cousin in the water crews. You know, maybe that guy needs a little payback. And Kaladin's like, dude, not now. This is not the time.
Also, how many cousins he got, bro?
He says, in response to that, he's just like, oh, you never have enough cousins. You bother one of us, you bother all of us.
I don't think that's how cousins work.
Apparently it is for Lopin. He's very close to his cousins. What can I tell you? And so as they approach the battle, Kaladin gets the armor and puts it on. So he's wearing the Parshendi's armor as his own armor, essentially, and he's got the shield with the Parshendi bones attached to it, and he's seen how Parshendi react, and even just Parshmen, as we've seen through Shen, when you interfere with their dead, so he knows that this is going to draw some attention. And so he pops up, and the Parshendi are the archers are just, like, so shocked by what they're seeing that, like, they lower their bows and stop singing, and they're just like, what the hell is that? Yeah, they are deeply offended by anyone messing with their dead. So this is just like horrific. This, like, Kaladin has desecrated this body so badly. Multiple bodies in point of fact. And so then a new song starts up and they are all the Parshendi start aiming at Kaladin.
Just like, guess I'm going to fight in the shade.
Yeah, right. And so he uses some of the stormlight that he's got in his bag. And to try to keep dancing ahead of the arrows as they all fly at him. And he gets sliced a couple times, but the stormlight heals it up. So that's pretty cool. When he gets wounded in the arm, it says it leaks light instead of blood and then seals back up. So,
yeah, that's, you know, that's completely normal. That's what you want.
And so, yeah, there's just dozens and dozens of arrows slamming into, like, all around him and into his shield. And getting deflected off of the breastplate, or one of them almost knocks his helmet off. And he realizes that he's like somehow drawing the arrows into his shield. And he's like, I've been doing this the whole time, haven't I? Like, I'm holding the bridge and then the arrows always hit the bridge and never me. How long have I been doing this? And all it turns out that like pretty much every single archer was aiming at him, to the point that all of the bridges get set with like no losses, more or less. And they all run up to him after Sadeas' army starts going across. And they're like, oh my gosh, that was incredible. You should be dead. To the point where like his clothes have like arrow holes in them. That's how close the arrows came to hitting him, but didn't. And Scar goes like, storm blessed. That's all there is to it. You're storm blessed.
Somewhere Boromir is watching this going, fucking hell.
And then, like much earlier in the book, didn't they refer to him as Caladan Stormblessed when he was in Amaran's army?
They did.
Yep.
So his being Stormblessed as such still's been around a lot longer than even he's aware of, you would think, maybe, because whatever's happening to him, Syl said that she's doing it.
Mm. She is the storm blessing.
Well, in some of the flashbacks to when he was in Amaram's army, like we saw her flying around. Well, we saw a windspren and we just assumed it was her.
That's true. I don't know
that. Yeah, it's like when in that one scene where he throws a bribe to the medics to pick up his guys, and like the pouch sticks to his hand for a second, and there's a windspren laughing, and he's like, ah, stupid.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And then you guys are like, oh, that's probably Syl. She's been around longer than we thought. So, yeah, maybe. It is weird. So before we had the title of Lordling was used when he was a kid, and then Gaz somehow picked up on it all those years later. And now we have Stormblessed also having made this transition somehow. And then here comes Matal, the guy who's in charge of the bridge crews, but whose wife does all the work until now. And he's like, he says, fall into line, and they have to fall into line, and, you know, like actual soldiers or something. And here comes Sadeas, and Sadeas is like, Avarak Matal. This man looks familiar, nodding to Caladan. And Matal's like, yeah, he's the one from before. Oh, yes, the miracle.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
And you sent him forward as a decoy like that? One would think you'd be hesitant to dare such measures. And Matal, to his credit, is like, I take full responsibility, Bright Lord. And Sadeas is like, well, luckily for you, it worked. I suppose I'll have to promote you. They practically ignored the assault force. All 20 bridges set, with nary a casualty. Seems like a waste somehow. Which, I like how the moment Sadeas starts to do something okay... He says some shit like that where it's like, it's such a waste that none of them died.
Yeah. Whatever. It's like, we've had the best run ever and hardly any of them died. What a waste.
It's like, you just can't not be a dick. I get it. All right.
It's just not the Sadeas that Dalinar knows. And so it's really jarring to be like, this is the same person.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I feel like it's more a case of, you know, he respects Dalinar and not people underneath him. So.
Oh, absolutely.
That's one of those things where it's like you never know someone really until you see how they treat people under them. And so, yeah, Sadeas walks off and Callum thinks that's the most backhanded promotion I've ever seen. But all right. And Matal is like, you could have gotten me executed. And Callum's like, instead, I got you promoted. And the guy, Matal's like, I should see you strung up. And Callum's like, it's been tried. Didn't work. Besides, you know, from now on, Sadeas is going to expect me out there distracting the archers. Good luck getting another bridgeman to try that.
2 seconds later, several other bridgemen volunteer to do exactly that.
It's true, yeah. Because Moash is as soon as Matal's gone, Moash is like, you found the secret. We have to expand this. And Scar's like, I bet I could dodge if I was doing nothing else. Like, just concentrating on that. So Moash is like, yeah, we should dress up like 5 guys. In Parshendi bones to run out there and distract them. And that reminds Caladan. He looks back at Shen, and Shen is like just sitting on a rock all sad, like tears running down his face. And Kaladin feels bad, as he probably should, about horribly desecrating bodies when he knew what it would do to this guy.
The inside of Shen's mind is like, they did it. They really did it. Those bastards. What do? I guess I'm just going to cry.
And Kaladin's watching, just going, I know why he's sad. It's me. I'm why he's sad.
Yeah, it's me. Wouldn't that have been a different story if Spook was like, I know why you're sad. It's me.
It's me. He said it all creepy like that. He's like, it's me. I'm the reason you're sad, aren't I? She's like, who are you?
Who are you? I don't even know you.
Yeah, you will. You will. And just like fades into the shadows.
Teft says that, yeah, Shen walked over there and just sat down like that the moment he saw what you'd done. Might not be good for bridge runs anymore. And Kaladin, like, he's having a bit of a, you know, he's coming down from that that rush, and he's getting kind of shaky, which happens, you know, adrenaline rush.
Yeah, sugar high. Sugar high, storm blessed high.
And then Kaladin takes a moment to call. It's like, Teft, you were a spearman. Don't try to lie. I can tell. How'd you end up in the bridge crews? And Teft just goes, it's where I belong. And then Syl shows up and is like, you still think you're cursed? And he's like, no, I get it. But that means that all that shit that went wrong, it was all my fault. I can't blame, like, the universe for it.
Is this the Hoid lesson?
Well, but then Syl is like, you cannot, it's not your fault. Everyone who died is not your fault. And she tells him that he was pushing himself too hard. And he's like, do the impossible, Kaladin. Save everybody, but don't push yourself too hard. Also, don't feel guilty if you fail. He's like, I can't do all of this.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's, I feel like that's fair. It's be like, you want me to be all these things and do all these things, but you also want me to not feel bad when things don't go right. It's like somebody has to take responsibility. If I'm supposed to be doing all this stuff, then I have to take responsibility when it doesn't work.
Yeah. And they start treating, so some of the bridgemen were wounded, not from his bridge crew, but some of the other ones. So they start treating a guy, and Lopin's like, Kaladin? Sounds like, what? Because he's working. So, Kaladin! And then he realizes he didn't call me Goncho. He called me by my name. This is serious. And he looks up, and some of the Parshendi have punched through Sadeus's line. They have bows, and they're going to shoot these arrows at Kaladin's crew, which it's never been an issue before now. Once the army gets across, then the Parshendi don't care about the bridgemen anymore. Not today. That's not how it's going.
And somewhere Sadeus is just going, oh, goody, bridgemen might die.
Exactly. And Kaladin realizes, like, there's no time to do anything. 50 arrows are about to come flying at his bridge crew. They've got they don't even have a bridge to protect them. They're going to die. And then all of a sudden, a single figure in slate gray armor, wielding a sword as long as many men were tall, comes through and just, like, starts cutting them down. And very quickly, these 50 archers are reduced to corpses, as it says. And the shard bearer turns and salutes the bridgeman and heads off to fight some more. And Drahi's like, that was him. That was Dalinar Colan, the king's uncle. And Lopin's like, oh my gosh, he saved us. And Moash, who before now was kind of into Dalinar, is like, whatever. He just saw a group of undefended archers and took the chance. Light Eyes don't care about us, right, Kaladin?
Say, I told you, turn around.
You did. You predicted it. Kaladin's like, yeah, no, you're right. But in his head, he's thinking, I mean, then why, like, salute us like that, if that's all it was? He's like, okay, from now on, we have to pull back further after the soldiers cross. They're not going to ignore us anymore because they're pissed.
Yeah, I did a bad thing, and now they're mad at us.
And Moash is like, holy crap, everything went our way today, basically. Like, this is great. And Kaladin goes, wait to see if we escape. That's the real test. And that's the end of our chapters. So, yeah, things are starting to come together. We figure out Dalinar's visions are real, although I don't know that any of us actually doubted it at this point in the book. But at least maybe it'll shut Adolin up. And then Kaladin comes up with a cool plan and kind of sort of almost meets Dalinar. So let's get into predicaments. Where are we going next? And next, to do the chapter titles again, why not? We are reading 4 chapters next time. And the first chapter is called Fear. The second chapter is called A Man of Extremes. The third one is called The Tower. And the fourth one is called Codes. So, predicaments. What's going to happen? Where are we going?
I've got no idea. Yeah. So, I mean, Dalinar and Kaladin have gotten as close as we expect them to at this point. So I'm hoping, well, at the very least, Kaladin will be like, huh, this is a bit weird. Like, he saved us and then saluted. So, like, we've already seen that happen. If Dalinar was to approach or ask something. Because Dalinar wants to research the Parshendi. And now you've got someone who's actually gone and provoked the Parshendi and provoked a different reaction out of them. So I think Dalinar is going to be pretty intrigued. So I'm hoping that it's really not that far until these two actually get together. Perhaps it'll be that Thaddeus and Dalinar will talk about Kaladin, because now they've both got an experience on the same day. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Fear, I mean, there's a lot to be afraid of. I don't know. A man of extremes could be in reference to Kaladin and taking the action that he did. The tower, perhaps another vision for Dalinar. Maybe, or maybe in reference to, you know, one of the towers or buildings they've constructed. I'm sure we've heard the term like tower somewhere, but I don't know if that's in reference to like Alethkar or something they've built out on the Shattered Plains. I don't know. I think we need another vision before the story is over, especially now that they've got to get him to translate this lost language, I guess. Navani's pretty interested, so we need to see where that story goes to. And codes has got to be the codes of which he's living by with the Way of Kings. But I don't know. We'll see how that pans out. I was pretty sure I knew what was going to happen this week, and that didn't really happen that way. So that's the fun of it, I guess.
I mean, we know that the codes refers to specifically those codes that he's living by. So that would make sense, right? I agree with you there. Honestly, offhand, I don't remember specifically what those chapters are about, but that makes a lot of sense. And you pointed out something interesting about Kaladin and Dalinar, because we'd previously discussed, it's like, Kaladin probably would not want to have a conversation with Dalinar. He doesn't like light eyes. He specifically, in an earlier chapter, was like, when will I ever stop hearing about Dalinar fucking Colin? I'm tired of this guy. But now we have a thing where Dalinar has done something for him. If Dalinar tried to start a conversation with Kaladin at this point, then Kaladin might be okay with it.
Yeah. Well, how many shard bearers would come and rescue a bridgeman?
Right.
Even they're going, oh, he just saw a bunch of arches that were open and went for it. Like, no one for a second thought it was for him. But to then, you know, effectively give him a sign of respect, that's definitely not what he's thinking.
Yeah. So maybe we needed something like this before they could meet so that, you know, Kaladin won't be instantly hostile.
You got to have two people open to the conversation, so.
Right. Yeah. So for someone who started out saying, I have no idea, you got some decent thoughts in there. Good job.
I'm thinking on the run.
That's how to do it.
Yeah.
That's how we do it here on the Sander Lanch podcast. Yeah. So fear, I mean, I could see this being a Navani chapter. I could see this being an Adolin chapter. I don't really know. But definitely like something maybe about the desolation specifically. That would be my guess. Like fear of the unknown, fear just in general. So we've got that piece. What was the second chapter title?
A Man of Extremes.
A Man of Extremes. I mean, Sadeus seems like a guy of extremes sometimes, but maybe it's not him. And then we've got the codes. Yeah, I mean, got to be related to the Way of Kings for sure. And Dalinar and all that good stuff. And so I agree with Jamie. We now have like kind of an opening for maybe Kaladin to be open to having a conversation with Dalinar. We very well could see, after his success in the fight, in this battle, we could potentially, like, if Dalinar is going to be implementing, like, his own bridge crews at some point, maybe, like, they get to be one of his bridge crews if he's still on a bridge crew by that point. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully Kaladin's, like, you know, not on a bridge crew, gets to actually, like, be a person that doesn't have to worry about getting shot.
Wouldn't that be
they're
nice?
Fighting on the Shattered Plains, you know, that'd be pretty cool. I don't think they're going to escape at this point. I don't think that's where we're heading. I will say that. I think it doesn't make sense at this point now that not all, I guess Shallan's not in the picture right now, but all the main characters that we've been focusing on for this part, at least now that they're so close to colliding, like pretty much have collided at this point, I don't feel like escape is how this is going to end for that bridge crew. I think that they're going to have to basically just, something's going to change their situation to make it, you know, not so unbearable. Maybe that is them being on Sidious's bridge crew. I mean, excuse me, on Dalinar's bridge crew, if he starts bridge crews as opposed to Sidious. I don't know. But yeah, I don't think escape is what's going to end up happening for them. God, Dalinar and Navani, have no idea. Don't know what's going to happen with that. So that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, clearly they're still planning their escape. But
yeah,
it does seem like the story would make more sense with them not leaving the Shattered Plain.
Yeah, especially since we've spent, unless like Bran is really preparing to gut us, like as readers, it makes, doesn't make a lot of sense that we'd spend all these time with all these bridge crew members, get to know them, get to know about them, like their pasts and all that, and then he's just like, yeah, they're all gone, they're all dead, they didn't make it, or like, you know, they got stopped in an escape and they all died and it's just Kaladin again. That would be pretty heartbreaking. So I feel like that can't be where we're headed.
You're just going to Rock and Teft and Lopin all dead before the end of the book.
Yeah.
That's a downer.
Right? Yeah. That would be a downer. He's just, you know, Lopin just reaches out, sees Kaladin before he dies. He's like, got you. Tell my cousin he's a dick.
Which one?
Which one?
I was thinking even more like Infinity War, where it's like he's Spider-Man and Kaladin is Iron Man, but he's like, Gancho, I feel funny.
But if he's talking with an Australian accent, he'd be like, Gancho, I feel like shit.
I feel like shit, mate.
Gancho, I feel funny. Not ha-ha funny either. I don't know what's going on. I'm scared.
On the bright side, oh, Moash should be dead.
Moash is the only survivor of the bridge crew. It's not even Kaladin. No! Moash is the main character from here on out.
Oh, fuck.
Dax, like, I'm done.
Oh, the emails will not stop.
Okay, yeah. Joe has found the darkest direction that we could go. Not only will Dalinar die, the entire bridge crew is going to die.
Yeah. It's only a hypothetical. I don't really think that's what's going to happen.
No, that's what's going to happen. It's set in stone now.
Oh, I feel bad.
It's all Joe's fault. It's not even Brandon who did it. It was Joe.
Yeah, it was me. It was my. I spoke it into existence, and now it exists.
Okay. Thanks for that one, Joe.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I'm really not sure either, as I've already mentioned this episode. It's like, I don't really know where we're going still. I feel like the escape attempt is not going to come off, but I feel like there's got to be a reason we're not thinking of as to why it's not going to come off. It's not just going to be because Dalinar and Kaladin come together and they just put the whole thing off. There's got to be some other like big reason. There's got to be something like huge that happens. One thought I did have, which I don't think it's particularly likely, but I don't really have much else this week, so I'll just throw it out there anyway. They've pissed off the Parshendi so much that their entire game plan changes, and now the Parshendi actually go on the offensive and jump across the chasm. And like I've talked before, it's like, why haven't the Parshendi just jumped before across the plains and just come to the Alethi war camp and just like try to engage them there? Maybe now that it's like they're desecrating our dead, that's it, we're fucking ending this, and maybe they do. That'd be fun. Something a bit different. Yeah. As the rest, like the chapters, I wasn't sure what to make of most of those. I mean, the codes, I'm pretty sure that'll be a Dalinar thing. But the tower, wasn't that like one of the plateaus in the Shadow Plains? Wasn't that like the really tall one?
Yeah, so the tower was the name of a plateau. Like you said, it was like the furthest one out that they went to fight on. And I think Kaladin specifically says like no Alethi army had ever won a battle at the tower because it was so far out, the Parshendi always get there first.
Okay, so maybe, yeah, they go for another one out there, and maybe the Alethi get it this time, who knows. So, yeah, we'll see on that. I did also have the thought, it's like, there's all this talk about why the Radiance turned against mankind or whatever, and I'm like, maybe Odium turned them against mankind, but I don't know if that's something we'll find out this book, or if that comes into play in Words of Radiance, so who knows.
Mm. Okay. I'm glad somebody remembered that bit about the tower, because I was wondering if anyone was going to pull that into some sort of prediction. I mean, there's other towers that we've heard about in the story. There was also, what was it? In the Wander Sale, there was the tower that the king lived in that no one ever went in. So there's another tower of relevance.
So, yeah, I forgot about that one. I remember, just because we're still on the plains and, you know, I mean, really, aside from Yasna and Shallan's chapters and like the start of the book, we've been on the plains pretty much the whole book.
Yeah, we have. You're right.
And I really hope this isn't another, you know, Final Empire Well of Ascension where we spend two whole books sitting in the same area and we're expecting to, like, we spend the entire second book just going, well, surely they're going to leave the city at some point, right? And then they didn't.
They did eventually, but
for like 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd kind of forgotten about that. That's true. I think I do want to say I anticipate that next week, after we read these next four chapters, you guys will have some interesting predictions. They're going to give you some stuff to predict off of. So I'll be entertained next week, I think. We'll see what happens.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, you've got you got a couple ideas in there that might have some potential. I don't want to give anything away. This idea about Odium, it's interesting.
I feel like one of the big mysteries of the book is like the Radiance like turned against mankind. Why? Like,
yeah, we even saw the flashback of the Day of Recreance when the Radiance turned, and
yeah,
Dalinar's like, why are you guys doing this? And nobody would answer him. So yeah, that's a big, and it's an interesting thought that maybe Odium's involved, because we know Odium's hanging around someplace doing something. So maybe that was, maybe that's it.
He puts his fingers in some kind of pie.
And like this flashback with Noadon, if that was Noadon, he mentions like someone, I assume, what do you say? Surge Binders is one of the orders of the Knights Radiant. So, and like one guy in charge of them did something really fucky stuff. So maybe that guy was Odium's avatar for a bit.
Mm. Okay. So he had the face on the back of his head. Right.
Yeah. Got it. Sure.
Yeah. Previously on Avatar. Sorry, you said that. It made me think of that.
Glorious.
It's Moash the hero.
No. Denied.
Denied. Okay. Let's do. We have one new review. We have one new patron. Let's do the review first. That'll give Joe a little time to get ready. This review was from Nitron94, and it says, felt like this podcast was made for me. I'm reading Stormlight Archive for the first time, having read every other Cosmere book, and this pod is exactly what I was looking for to accompany me. First time Stormlight Archive readers, but Cosmere veterans. Glad I'm not the only one who has tackled Sanderson's Cosmere in this particular order. Looking forward to walking through Stormlight Archive with y'all, and keep the Simpsons references coming.
Well, thanks for that. That great review. You are a smoker, Nitro.
Yeah. Smoke them if you got them.
Smoke them if you got them.
All right. Yes, thank you for the review. If you want to get jumped into the Misting crew,
yeah,
leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you have to send me the picture of it at the email address if you want to do Spotify, because I can't see who leaves those. But
Skadriel, the only planet where smoking your friends is a good thing.
Interesting point. Yep. All right. We have one new patron at the Ska level. Their name is, I'm going to say this says Ed Sickles, E-D-S-I-C-A-L-Z, Ed Sickles.
Ed Sickles, a blood maker if there ever was one, my friend.
Ooh, nice. That's one of my favorites. Storing it would be a pain in the ass, but yeah. Using it, that's nice.
Miles 100 lives, man.
Yeah, I mean, if you could be Miles, you don't have to store much because you can compound it, so that wouldn't be bad. But
right.
To be Wayne and have to, like, you know, hang around being sick for long periods of time, that kind of sucks.
Yourself the constant sniffles, it's fine.
We've got a few emails. The first one has a 5-star Spotify rating attached to it, so we'll...
Ooh, another review!
Yeah, Joe can be ready to put that one, but this the title is Tavorver is a Volcano. No, that is in no way relevant. This is from Lenny, or Leniathan, who you guys may remember, last week was a new patron.
Oh, Leviathan. I don't remember what fairing power I gave you.
No, I don't either. But I just remember because I was like, it's like Leviathan, but with an N. So his email says, "Hi, Dak, Jamie, Joe, and Data. Been a listener for a while now, and I really enjoy listening to your guys' journey through the Cosmere. I've wanted to support you guys for a while, so today I finally went and gave you a 5-star review in both iTunes and Spotify, just for extra support / visibility for you. I use both, so I can occasionally listen to old episodes while falling asleep without messing up my order, as well as I subscribed at the Misting level on Patreon. I listen to a bunch of Cosmere podcasts. If anyone asks, Cosmere Conversations, Following Odon, The Storm Pod, My Sister Made Me View It, The Stormlight Archive, The Sandersonian Institute of Cosmere Studies, There's Always Another Podcast, Mistborn Spoilers, and obviously The Sanderlanch. So there's the list. A lot of Cosmere podcasts out there.
Yeah, you're going to need to cut all those. We don't want to advertise for anybody else's podcast.
No, that's it's a discussion we've actually had in the Discord. More back when I started the Discord, people were like, wait, like they'd start talking about another, and they're like, wait, is that allowed here? Because some Discords for podcasts don't want you talking about other podcasts. And I'm just like, no, I feel like it's one of those, like, a rising tide raises all ships. So, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Getting more interest in Cosmere podcasts is good for everyone. So.
Yeah. Unless those podcasts are better than us. And then in which case, don't listen to them. Listen to us.
And Lenny goes on here, but when life gets busy and I need to drop podcasts for a while, the Sanderlanch is the one I still keep listening to.
Thanks, Lenny. I appreciate that. And you know what? I do remember what I gave you because it sounded like Leviathan. So I gave you Gasper, which is cadmium. And so cadmium compounding would be a pulsar, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So you're a pulsar. Be a compounder, my friend.
May have already given him a review one because he says he left a review on Apple Podcast. That might be the one we just read. So if we did, pick whichever one you like better.
Yeah. If I've awarded you more than one, pick one. Doesn't matter which.
So continuing, really enjoy the atmosphere your friendship creates for the podcast. And I love all your tangents and theorizing and the occasional baby noises in the back. Plus, being half Papua New Guinean and having spent a good chunk of my childhood there, it's always nice to hear the accent of our Australian neighbors. As an extra layer of fondness for me. Always excited for new eps, which I bumped to the top of my queue. I wish you guys happy continued readings, Hulays. Greetings from Germany, Lenny. So, thanks, Lenny.
Thanks, man.
/ Leviathan. I get where that name comes from now that I know that you go by Lenny. So, appreciate the patronage and the reviews. Just going all out. The next email is from Marla. The title is Episode 188. Way of Kings 54 and 55. Morning all, started listening about 6 months ago and caught up just in time for your most recent hiatus. I started listening because I craved that hit that comes with a first time read through, even if only vicariously. It's been great catching up, and as has been said before, I admire Data's ability to walk the spoiler line, even if I occasionally flinch at how close to the line it gets. As to this episode, I finally felt compelled to write in because is a thing that, only is for me. Basically, what she's saying is, felt compelled to write in because they said the thing.
Oh, we said a thing, huh?
Yeah.
How many times have I heard that in my life? You said a thing. You can't say that anymore, especially not at work. Don't say that.
In any case, I'm thrilled you all are finally doing Stormlight. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the rest. Enjoy the journey, friends. From Marla.
That was supposed to be a joke, by the way. I don't say inappropriate things.
No, sure. No, none of us believe you. So yes, thank you for that email. We have one more. I'll go ahead and read this last one. It's actually two because, well, you'll see. This one is from Jamie. It says, not Jamie on the show, a different Jamie. Although, I mean, I guess Jamie could have emailed us and lied about who she was, but then she could have picked a different name.
Why would you use the same name?
It says, I'm loving the podcast. Hello, Sanderlanch crew. I've been listening to you since the middle of February, and I'm almost caught up. Sometime during the first or second Mistborn episodes, I realized that you were currently on the Way of Kings, which I was also reading at the time, so I swapped between past and present. I'm currently on episode 189, the Way of Kings 56 and 57, and also episode 107, Shadows of Self 13 and 14, is next.
I don't recommend listening to us in that order.
Hey, if it works for you, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you do you, but I don't recommend that. It's not the recommended way to do it.
I swapped to Podbean when I realized I could listen at more than 2x speed and could leave comments. So I am the crazy lady Jamie who has left at least one comment on nearly every single Podbean episode.
That's funny.
And I'm also the same SW underscore pants whose Apple Podcast review you read in episode 187. And yes, nice. SW stands for Star Wars. And then in parentheses, Legends is better than canon. I hope to get through my backlog before the end of April. Anyway, I'm loving the deep insights and predicaments and that you still bring up Spook because running jokes are the best. Having three of you bounce ideas off of each other while Joe being the perfect brother and nag at Data that, yes, of course, you know, makes my commute more engaging and I don't want to stop listening. Data, you're doing a fantastic job of guiding the episodes and making everything spoiler free. Though at one point, everyone else was saying they were invested and I was cackling as this was pre-investiture info.
Ah, that's funny.
Sorry if this sounds rambly. It's not even 4 a.m. here, and I have to get ready for work, but really felt the need to write an email for you. Thank you for putting up such great content. Wasn't to the time of next, Jamie. And then she followed up with another email less than an hour later saying, and of course, I forgot a few things. First, in the last 2 months, I finished my Stormlight reread, and there were times in the novels, more so than the novellas, that I thought to myself, I can't wait to hear Dak, Jamie, and Joe's thoughts on this event. And then the second one is, I love how Jamie spells her name. As a Jamie with I in the wrong place, quote wrong, I'm hyper aware of the spelling our name correctly. In first grade, there was me, who this Jamie spells her name, J-A-I-M-E. Then there was a Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, and a Jamie, J-A-I-M-I-E, in the same class. So Jamie, J-A-Y-M-E-E, makes a fourth spelling that I know. There's a lot of Jamie in that.
That's a lot of Jamie.
There's a lot of Jamies. and you always get it spelt wrong, which is fair because there's so many spellings out there. When I bought my coffee at work this week, I'm now Jammy, J-A-M-M-Y.
Capsule. Is that
Capsule?
Funny enough, but yeah, yes. All the Jamies. Hi, Jamie. Hi, other Jamie. Any Jamie just listening?
Oh, see, there's camaraderie in the Jamie community. There you go.
Love a good Jamie now and again.
A Jamie Dodger?
Yeah.
Although I'm also pretty impressed with how often, like, my name is spelt as, like, exactly how it sounds. So the J-A-I-M-E is confusing, even though it's still how it sounds. But even when someone knows how to spell your name, like, they've managed to send you an email. They've put your email address in, and it's got your name in it. You'll get J-A-M-Y-E-E or I was like, that's Jamie, not
I don't know if I just need to change my autocorrect software, but like I will spell, so I have a coworker whose name is Sierra, spelled C-E-I-R-R-A, and I spell it right every time, but sometimes my email like corrects it and I'm like, stop correcting it, that's not the way it's spelled.
My autocorrect does that with my daughter's names, so. But yes, so that was all of our emails. I really liked the detailed Jamie discussion there, so I was excited to read that one. If anyone would like to send us an email like these folks did, the address is thesanderlanch@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, I'm sorry, not Twitter, X, Facebook, Patreon, where I have finished reading Defiant finally, and I have not yet started what I'm going to read next. So there's no new episodes until I start the next thing, which I'm going out of town for several days. It won't affect us recording, but it will affect my ability to do anything else. And so that won't, I won't be starting something new anytime soon, but hopefully next week sometime. But yes. So if you want to check out our Patreon, you can see my first reactions to, or hear my first reactions to various brand new Sanderson books when they come out. Like I said, it'll be probably a couple weeks at least before I get new episodes of something out because I have not started reading something since I finished Defiant. Well, not a new Sanderson book since I finished Defiant. I'm still trying to decide if I wanted to go Long Chills and Case Dough, the very little book that came out with the Year of Sanderson campaign, or if I want to try Dragonsteel Prime. So I haven't decided yet. But anyway, that's what's happening on our Patreon at the moment. If you want to check that out. You can also get assigned a fairing power from Joe if you go and sign up for our Patreon.
It's true.
Music by Miracle of Sound. Throw that out there. As I mentioned, we are doing 4 chapters for next time. And we are 4 episodes from the end of this book. We're at the end of those chapters we just read. We are 88%, according to my Kindle. So 12% of the book left, 4 more episodes.
Oh, we've got more interludes in there as well, don't we?
No, there are no interludes between part 4 and part 5.
Oh.
I think this may be the only book that has, of the Stormlight Archive, that has a part break with no interludes in it. I could be wrong, but
I want to see Seth again.
You know,
he is the best.
Yeah,
he could be in part 5. He could have like a whole thing in part 5.
That's true. Could happen. We will get into part 5. We'll start. Let's see. Does it start after this next one? No, part 5 will start not next week, not the week after that, but the one after that. So there will be 2 episodes of part 5 essentially.
Ready.
But I think you guys will be interested when we get to the part where it says whose perspectives are in part 5, I think. There's at least a name or two that you'd be like, oh, okay, I'm on board now. And in part 4, we still haven't seen, I don't think, a Novani perspective that Joe's been predicting will come sooner or later because it was in the part opener.
I mean, what a prediction that I thought would definitely come true that has not come true. I'm just like, not really? Yet. It hadn't happened yet. Okay.
But we still have 2 episodes of part 4, so there's time.
Yeah, I guess.
So yes, 4 chapters for next time. Okay, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks emailers, patrons, you guys are awesome. If you want to chat on the Discord, you can find the link to our Discord at our website, www.thesanderlanch.com. It'll be at the top of the page, unless you're on mobile, in which case you got to open the drop-down menu and then you find it. But either way, or you can just send me a message. I had a message on Patreon asking, hey, send me a link to the Discord. I've had messages on Reddit saying, hey, send me a link to the Discord. So feel free to email or send a message if you want to join the Discord. But yeah, check that out. 4 chapters for next time. And wasing to the time of next. Colo, P.S. Fasher. Crab at thee. Ghost Stopper.